Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Arch. Man, this week just flew by, didn't it? Well, you weren't even here on Monday. Dell had to take your place. So you had a 3-day week last week and a 4-day week this week. You're like the Lance Polillo.
I know, I was waiting for the Polillo bomb. Chris Solis long ago, my buddy, said he believed that Charlie could have made a tremendous amount of money on an app where you put in your amount of vacation days. And then you put in any company vacation days, you know, and then you just hit submit and it will schedule the most optimal vacation. You know, you say, do you want long weekends? Do you want short weeks? You know, and it will create a vacation. It'll create a vacation schedule for you, an optimal vacation.
Well,
schedule.
Charlie's would have been least sports activity days. Because he hated being during the All-Star break. He took those days off because if there's no sports to talk about, he was like, I don't want to do the show.
Right. But yeah. He also was extremely well-versed in taking it turning a, like the Thursday, Friday, I put one at the Monday because that's a Charlie move. I worked with Charlie.
Yeah.
So, and you know, for years, you and I would, do you remember at 6:10 when we would work like 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day? We never got comp days for it. No. They're just like, guys, this is a great chance for people who don't usually get to hear you to hear you.
Yeah, right.
Never mind the fact that maybe
nobody's
we had
on the road.
15% listenership. Right. Nobody's on the road.
Right.
And they didn't even give us comp days.
Especially
like,
for
which
a morning.
Is illegal,
by
the way. I could
see the afternoon guys having to do it because, you know, people are up in the afternoon and maybe in their car. The morning, nobody's getting up early on the 4th of July to listen to radio.
And David Gow's never been like that, thankfully. No. I mean, that's the way, by the way, every other radio station is. It's considered a company comp day, but 6:10 used to trick us and then never told us we had a vacation day we used for it.
No.
They were good people. There's a reason we left.
No, well, that was like one of the
one of
small
many.
Reasons.
Yeah.
One of the,
no, it's just
one of the lesser reasons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. RJ brought this to my attention. I didn't even realize it. So Sunday, we got Deshaun's return. You know who's Monday's return is?
Is it J-Mo?
James Harden.
Okay.
He comes back Monday in his return to the NBA after being injured,
mm-hmm.
and he comes back to the city as well.
We've had James here in Houston, right?
Yeah. No,
he's
already come back already, right?
Yeah, because we had the tribute video.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, RJ asked me, so you think they're going to do a Deshaun tribute video?
Negative.
Zero chance of a Deshaun a tribute. You mean the guy that took $27 million that wouldn't play for you, that embarrassed the entire organization, that had the organization have to pay off 26 women? You mean that guy?
Right.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't.
It was a really messy breakup.
Oh, gosh.
It was a really messy
breakup. Honestly, can you think of a messier? I mean, we were talking, he's a Jags fan. I was talking about Ngakoue, you know, going after the owner's son. Remember that?
That was bad.
That was ugly.
Went after Tony
but
Khan.
But do we remember another breakup with a player?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's been. I'll have to think about it, but I'm sure.
The University of Texas safety when in Seattle.
Earl Thomas. Yeah.
When he was left the field, double rodding everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete Carroll, his head coach,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, right.
Deshaun's was more prolonged, obviously, and it was I have to think about it, but surely there's way more that we can think of.
Breakups with guys and teams?
No, Rockets weren't a great one with James, but I guess, you know.
Yeah, but, well, fat suit. The first thing that comes to mind is fat suit.
Yeah.
That
was one. I'll have to think about
this
it.
This is by far the ugliest, though. I mean, as as I mean, Jalen wasn't. Jalen was pretty bad too. Jalen's was that was ugly from the Jags. But
10 worst sports and team breakups. Here it is. Somebody actually did a website. Josh Smith and the Pistons. I mean, if we don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
Percy Harvin in Seattle. That that wasn't great, but that was really more about he beat up a wide receiver.
Yeah,
Golden Tate.
Yeah, that was he was
Dwight
great
Howard
guy.
In the Orlando Magic. That wasn't a great one. And Dwight Howard in the Lakers, Vince Carter in the Raptors, Patrick Waugh in Montreal Canadiens. I don't remember that. Kobe and Shaq, but those were two players.
Yeah, those were two guys.
Terrell Owens in the Eagles wasn't great.
No.
That was remember the
yeah, but he went after the, Donovan. It wasn't like he went after the organization.
No, he did too because the organization's the one that suspended him. Right when he was doing sit-ups in his driveway with the media around, he was suspended, and I think that was the media. Ray Rice and Ravens, I don't count that. LeBron in Cleveland, this isn't really what I'm looking for.
But I'm telling you that I don't think we've ever seen anything like Deshaun. This is the ugliest, the worst. Jalen Ramsey wasn't good either, and that was another Mulligetta guy, right?
Yeah, he's a Mulligetta guy.
Yeah.
There's been three of them that have done this. That's why there's a belief that this is a standard ploy to basically just con you out of money.
So Deshaun met the media yesterday, and here
Antonio Brown and the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, that was ugly.
And then there's Antonio no Brown and the Raiders.
And then Antonio right Brown's and the Bucks.
And the Bucks, yep.
Yeah.
So as Antonio Brown and the Raiders was bad, with Steelers was bad. Antonio Brown and the Raiders was really bad.
By the way, he's got a warrant out for his arrest in Tampa.
I saw it. Yeah. That's not really. To me, that's like a parking ticket for other people.
That's whatever.
Hey, oh, he's a warrant out for Antonio Brown's arrest. He did something wrong. Oh, that's
odd.
That's shocking.
That's gonna be a news of the weird.
Is it?
No, not really. It's because it's not. It's anything but weird. So. Deshaun, he just dodged yesterday. He was playing bob and weave, and the media was trying to get him to say something about the suspension and talk about it and everything else, and he would have none of it.
Sean, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time, and how do you apply that to now and going forward?
I respect your question. I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff. And I've been advised to, stay away from that and keep that personal.
So, who advised him? The Browns or his legal team? Because he's addressed the accusations before, even when they were still out there. He's still got two that are pending.
Mm-hmm.
So. Where is the advice coming from that he can't talk about it anymore? It's just,
Does it matter? It's probably good advice.
Well, it actually, here's the deal is, now that he's playing football, I can understand where he would want to just talk about football.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's not be distracted. I can't be distracted by this stuff. I've already answered all your questions about all this stuff.
It's a viable response. I mean, you weren't going to get the answer. I think it's a viable question to say to ask part of your suspension was that you had to go through counseling. What did you find out about yourself? That question was asked, and he didn't answer that. And it's a personal question, so he didn't have to answer it. But I think that's a good question.
Well, here's a question that hasn't been answered because he had to go through therapy. Now he sat up on the dais. Remember when he signed and he answered, and it was. So uncomfortable how bad that press conference was, but he had to go through therapy because he continued to try to say deny. that he was innocent and that he did never disrespected any women, and they made him go through the therapy. So the question would be, now do you feel differently that you did and do you feel any remorse?
And well, it was a great opportunity for Deshaun. The question, one thing I've found about Deshaun over the last. Really, especially last 2 to 3 years, is he's really not very good at thinking quickly with interviews and being like he doesn't work well on his feet.
Yeah.
In terms of quick answers, quick responses. you can tell by his responses are very canned. He doesn't have the good BS to him in the way that he can have carry on a conversation and then maneuver around things very cleverly. That's not who he is.
No.
And so that would have been a great opportunity when the question arose yesterday, and we can listen to it. You're going to hear the same.
It's the same thing.
You're going to hear the same answer on everything. It was a great opportunity, John, for him to, you know, from a PR standpoint, to say, if he'd been really quick on his feet, he could have said, you know, I know the fear is him giving in and admitting anything that he did wrong.
That's the problem. He's still got two out there.
That's the thing. But I think he could have said, you know, I learned, there's a lot of stuff I learned about myself. And right now, you know, I'm constantly, this is a journey where I'm exploring who I am. And there's some things and behaviors in the past, and I'm not admitting to anything. But I think the way I saw the world and some of the ways that I behaved, I could have done better. And I need to be, you know, I need to always strive to be better. And everyone needs to strive. If he had some good BS to him, he could have said something like that. It would have been,
yeah,
hey, Deshaun, you know, sounds like he's matured some. Mm-hmm. It could have been a real chance to score points.
Yeah.
But he's just not good in those settings.
No, he's not. He's just, no. That's not his, that absolutely not a strong point. He's much better on the field.
Isn't it funny that I'm telling you how he could have scored points with BS?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's true. I mean, it's just true.
That's the truth. I mean, we've seen it. So we see it all the time. And whether or even whether you're sincere or not,
it's just perception. Yeah.
It is something that would definitely helped. So asked about what it means that he's back in Houston for his first game.
I'm excited to just play football in general in front of Cleveland Browns fans, but also in front of some of the Houston Texans fans. You know, I respect the whole organization of the Houston Texans. I respect them and their family. I respect everyone that was there that drafted me in 2017. There's been great memories, fun memories. I still have a home in Houston. I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, you know, I play with are seeing, you know, come up from, you know, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, you know, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that. But, you know, the most important thing is, you know, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
But, I mean, he the respect thing, whatever. Yeah, he really respected Cal and really could tell that he definitely had deep feelings for the organization, deep feelings for Cal and the ownership. That's BS. He wanted out of here. He didn't trust Cal. Listen, there's some things that in this thing, he's got a point. Honestly, if Deshaun was here now, with or without the accusations, if Deshaun was here now, how good? I mean, this team would still be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about? Six win. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to.
Well, with him, they had four.
They had four with him, and he had a really good year there.
Yeah, he had a really good year.
I mean, yeah, this is three straight years of really bad football.
Like, can you blame a guy that doesn't want to play for the worst ownership in maybe sports?
So you see, Tim Kelly wasn't a problem necessarily.
No, it wasn't Tim Kelly.
Deshaun Watson isn't a problem. It's just a consistent,
yeah.
You know, it's just a consistent issue of your roster is just not good enough. It's not good enough to compete. You haven't had good head coaches. Bill O'Brien was a tyrant, yeah. who was a bad general manager who did this to your roster in part. I mean, it had been coming, but Deshaun, I'm very interested to watch him and see how he plays, how he looks with this much time off. I'm interested to see what the Houston response is going to be to Deshaun Watson. I'm interested to see what the Texans' response is. You know, this is a big game. There's a lot of fans that want to beat Cleveland and beat Deshaun in it, frankly. I mean, you're going to, let's just be honest, from a draft standpoint, you're still okay. If you beat Cleveland, you hurt their draft stock, which helps yours since you own their draft positioning. And you could fade winning and still have the first pick if that's something that, you know,
ideally,
plays
that
into
is,
your
I,
thoughts.
Ideally, that is it. We've got more to talk about here. This Sunday, the Texans are giving out Deshaun Watson personalized and autographed white hand towels to the first 1,000 fans.
That's not true. They'll
have 675 towels left over. We'll have some under-over props on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Do you have a prop for the game? You can get in and give us yours. I have a proposition for you. go to Chastang. But if you're going to buy a Ford, if you're going to buy a Ford car, a truck, I'm getting my truck from Chastang Ford. I've already ordered it. I can't wait till it gets in. It's going to be so totally sweet. I'm trading in my Expedition, which I loved and was a great car. And I bought a Chastang Ford that was a great deal. That my payments were exactly where it had to be. I got all of it exactly how I wanted, except, you know, back then I had to take the packages. You know, I want this package. I really like this. There's a sunroof. Okay. They didn't add it on. There was a sunroof in that package. Right now, you don't have to do that. You get exactly what you want. You don't want a sunroof. You don't want leather seats. You don't want a bed liner. You don't want tinted windows. You do want all of those things. You can do those as well. I mean, you just add them on. They won't add them on because that's not what they do at Chastang Ford. They won't mark the car up because that's not what they do at Chastang Ford. They are going to get you under MSRP when you order from Chastang Ford. If you're ordering from someone else, that's on you. Because they could come back and say, listen, we're going to have to mark it up because of, you know, the market and how it is. No, not at Chastang Ford. Find out for yourself. You'll love the deal at ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lance is in here eating seaweed, and he wants me to eat it. What the hell? He's got
too.
Like these little... That's
like
gross.
Nori strips, yeah.
No, it's seaweed.
Mm-hmm. It's a good healthy snack. That's got... red pepper, so it's actually got.
Oh, I like that.
It's got a little kick, which I like.
That's the only thing that I would like about it.
So, how crazy is it that we've got a Spanish station here, Power 105.3, that they lease space and they've got their own studio here in our studio, and the girl that's on the show is really good friends with Alex Cintron.
Yeah,
and we're trying to have her line up the Astros hitting coach for us.
Yeah. Cintron.
Cintron. Is it Cintron? Cintron. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so she's going to, hopefully we're going to get him on Monday. So, we'll see about that. That'll be great to have the hitting coach. What we do have.
I mean, he's done a really,
well,
really good job.
Let's play this. Let's pay the Jeremy Pena. Since you brought up the Astros and we'll get to some props with Deshaun. I don't even know if anybody wants to talk about Deshaun. I don't care. We've been talking about so much Deshaun and finally here. Oh, great. Deshaun's coming. I'm actually going to go to the game now. I want to see the atmosphere. Uh-huh. I want to see how many Browns versus Texans. I want to see the reaction for Deshaun coming out on the field.
Make my first appearance with the media pass.
Yeah.
I might do that.
I can get a ticket for you if you want. They're available. I don't know if you heard.
No, I have heard. Yeah, there's right. Some. Well, I'm curious. I wonder what tickets are going for. I have to look on Simple Seats because actually those have got to be. Okay. Well, so you think there will be more than 40,000 people in the stands? Texans and Browns, $35.
Texans
and Simple Seats. Yeah. That's the lowest.
That's the
lowest up in the upper deck that you're gonna find. Down, there's actually not a lot of tickets available on Simple Seats on the lower level. 167 on the lower level.
Really?
Yeah. And here's one where 178. That's at like the 40-yard line. That's still a pretty good price. 178 a ticket is still for an NFL game. 131 in a corner of the end zone.
Yeah,
you know
that's fine. We'll talk about that. If you want to go, we can get a ticket. I'm pretty sure we can get a ticket. But Jeremy Pena was on a podcast, and the question was
which podcast was it?
Hold on, I'm trying. That was what I was looking up here. It is the podcast is. Oh, I sent it to you, RJ. Do you know the podcast, RJ? It was on YouTube. And the podcast is
Mr. Beast.
Never mind. I'll give it to you afterwards. He was asked about Carlos Correa and his relationship with Carlos Correa and Carlos Correa handing the reins over to him. And here's Jeremy Pena talking about it.
Carlos Correa since the first day we met. You know, he kind of took me under his wing. You know, he would always do early work. And he'll call me with him. You know, he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm going to go catch ground balls. Come catch ground balls with me." And now we just talk about everything. You know, not even just baseball. We'll talk about life, get to know each other. And I learned so much from him. During practice, like, he would strive to be perfect. You know, and that's something I took from him because he's one of the best in the game.
100%.
You know, so, you know, I admire the way he carried himself, the way he would go about his work. And, yeah, like, we always kind of pulled for each other. And what people don't know is that last year when we got eliminated in the World Series, when we lost the World Series to the Atlanta Braves, you know, everyone saying bye to each other, you know, in the locker room, like, "Oh, have a great off season," you know, saying their goodbyes for the rest of the year. And he actually called me over. And he gave me a hug in the middle of the hallway.
Wow.
And he told me, "Get ready this winter. You're going to winter ball. Work on what you have to work, because next year, I think you're going to be the man." I think you're going to be a key piece to this team next year. So do what you have to do and come ready to spring training to play that position.
That's pretty cool stuff. Club Ambition Podcast is what it was. Club Ambition Podcast. Not surprising, but it is, I mean, does it paint Carlos even a better picture? Because you like Carlos.
Yeah.
You'll always have a place for Carlos because of what he did for this organization.
You can't be painted in a better light for me. Like, he's already there, and that's
yeah.
That's fine.
He was clutch. Whatever. He was a great asker. He loved his team.
Great
he was
teammate,
a leader.
Great leader. You couldn't ask for anything more than that. Carlos Correa.
This even kicks it up a little bit because when you remember Brett Favre, when you know, and Aaron Rodgers and passing the reins, when you think about Joe Montana and Steve Young, and when you think about, you know, guys who are going to be taking your place.
We saw it with Carlos, Chris Chandler and Steve McNair.
Oh, my God.
It was ugly here.
Chris Chandler wouldn't even talk to
Steve McNair.
I mean, so there, it's not like Chris Chandler was Carlos Correa's stature, but.
No, right.
Right. So, but
Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, that wasn't great.
No,
ironically,
it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great now. And what about, I mean, who was it that said when somebody was, "It's not my job to mentor him," you know?
I think it was Aaron.
No, it was, wasn't it Ben Roethlisberger? Did he say that when? No, I forget who. Somebody said recently after someone was drafted, "That's not my job to mentor him." Anyway, but for Carlos to do that, you know what? That is a lack of ego thing in a big way. To wanting that kid to succeed in taking your place.
Uh-huh.
Most people, like myself, okay, if when I leave here, I want whoever takes my place to suck.
Yeah,
I want him to be terrible.
Yeah, sure.
But that's because I'm a bad person.
Yeah, no, right? I mean
that's
I only wish Dell was still alive to hear that.
Dell would say, "Oh no, there's no question." That's
I wish Raheel could hear that. Hopefully, they're awake and listening.
Yeah, I wish Dell was still alive
because they would say, "Exactly." Yeah, me and Raheel had Raheel's little thing where every once in a while I was like, "Man, I hope Dell is looking down on us right now." And he's like, "Retweet this. Let's do this bit where we pretend he's dead."
Yeah, right. Oh, it was Tannehill and Malik Willis.
Oh yeah, it was Tannehill.
It
was also a little bit taken out of context too. The way that it was asked and answered, but still, yeah, that's competition, and you get that. Like, you understand for Carlos. Now, that wasn't Carlos's competition because Carlos wasn't fighting for a spot against Jeremy Pena. By the way, why was Jeremy Pena there? He wasn't on the playoff roster, was he?
Don't you remember? They invited him up so that he could get the experience of being on the bench during a playoff run.
But he wasn't. Okay, so he was sitting there, but he wasn't on the roster?
No.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah,
well, yeah, Uncle Mike was.
Yeah, he wasn't on the roster.
So he just got to sit in the roster?
Yeah, he wanted an experience, and guess what?
It had a moment that was impactful for him, so that's a good thing.
Oh, I heard it. Granado the worst. That's Raheel. That's Raheel's response.
Good. Raheel, just letting you know, he finally admitted it.
No. I'm the nicest person here. And listen, and I feel that way, and I'm the nicest of all of us, okay? That's how bad you people are. So, he got to experience that and actually went through that. But Carlos did that. That Carlos took him under his wing when he knew he was going to be his replacement. Listen, it had to kill Carlos watching this postseason. It had to kill him saying, oh, those are all my guys. Those are my friends. The guy who took my place is the ALCS MVP. He's the World Series MVP. Holy crap, that could have been me in the middle of this thing again, especially how much Carlos loves to win. You know, hey, listen, one of the reasons I think, I don't know, Carlos is meeting with like five different teams today.
Mm-hmm.
Just an FYI for people. Carlos is meeting with a bunch of teams with Boris, and maybe they'll get something done. But I think one of the reasons, this is just my opinion, I haven't heard this from them, but one of the reasons that Carlos hasn't signed with the Twins is because he doesn't believe they can win at the highest level.
He wants to win.
He wants to win. He's going to get that bag. He's going to get that bag. But you know what? He probably watched this off, and I know it. He watched this offseason and went, man, I want to be back there. I want to be back there.
I just, you know, six, I just, it is, it's not worth even, it really isn't worth going into, but because Jeremy Pena, I mean, the Astros not only made the right call, this has worked out better than we could have ever anticipated.
Ever.
Not only is the kid, he's bigger and stronger than Carlos was when he came into the league. Now, Carlos was younger. But he's bigger and stronger than Carlos was when he came into the league. I think he's got more home run power moving forward than Carlos had. The ability to hit more home runs. I think Jeremy Pena is going to. He won a gold glove. Now, I still will say Carlos has Carlos is the better overall defensive shortstop. But Jeremy Pena just won a gold glove. He's played clutch. And you know what? His personality not only fits into the team, he's got a star personality, yeah. Which who could have ever anticipated the good looks and the charm and the ability to do a commercial with. It's not like Jose Altuve's this magnetic personality on HEB commercials, but Jeremy Pena had never done anything and fit right in those commercials.
And Carlos,
the salsa commercials.
No, and Carlos is a pretty good looking guy, but Carlos, I mean, but Jeremy,
and Jeremy Tiger
didn't
Beat
blow
magazine.
It by getting engaged on the World Series stage. I mean, Carlos
didn't blow it.
Well,
he's married to the woman he loves.
I know, but listen.
And he has a kid now. One,
two,
right?
And one
two.
On the way.
Yeah, one on the way. Yeah.
But
he didn't, quote-unquote, blow
but
it.
But what a missed opportunity, how he could have slayed after the World Series.
You're acting like Carlos didn't slay starting in 15.
Yeah, I know, but after
when he
the
made
World
it to the
Series.
League. I know, it's a different level.
And look at Jeremy. Thousands and thousands
now,
of
Now, Jeremy is
proposals.
Right now got to be living his best
oh,
life.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if best life includes working at Kane's one shift, doing some random podcast there.
Well,
you haven't lived your life until you've been on John and Lance on the more.
Yeah.
Until you've been on the bench, you really haven't lived your best life, I don't think.
All right, so he was on in the taxi squad. I don't know that all the taxi squad guys were able to come up and be in the dugout.
Well, he
the
was
World
there
Series,
for Carlos to talk to him. Obviously.
Yeah, right. He was. Yeah. No, I remember them saying we wanted to get Jeremy.
Oh, we got rapping.
Yeah.
Greg Cosell.
Greg Cosell's joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So those were our props for Deshaun. Here is this is my proposition to you that if you have any issues whatsoever, then you call the Morley Law Firm. MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. It's where, there are experienced lawyers in everything that they do. They're going to make sure that you get the best representation you possibly can. How about you get a free consultation from the Morley Law Firm? They are going to make sure that they'll ask you the questions, what has happened or what's happening to you or what happened that you need to sue someone else. Is it a doctor? Is it an insurance company? Is it someone where you had an accident? Are you not getting paid off? Is there an asbestos suit? There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, everything. Any kind of legal issue that you have, make the consultation with the Morley Law Firm first and let them find out whether or not that they can help you. Immigration, I don't know a lot of law firms that are doing immigration work. I do know this. They are. And se habla español over at the Morley Law Firm. And here's the deal is if you have an immigration problem, these are people that are dealing with on a daily basis, not coming in new, not knowing what to do. They know what to do because they've been doing this. So if you're looking for a great way to get a representation, if you need it legally or criminally, or civilly or criminally, MorleyLaw.com. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:33, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And I'll be sure at 7:33 in the morning.
You what?
RJ was hitting us with I'll be sure. He knows. That's who's saying this.
A-L-B-E.
I'll be
sure.
Period. Sure.
Sure or sure?
Sure. Be sure. You better be sure. I'll be sure.
I'll be sure.
Mm-hmm. Saying this.
How about just have like...
He's kind of the Jeremy Pena of R&B in the late 80s.
How about Tim Smith? Why can't we have... Why is it got to be I'll be sure?
Who's going to buy an R&B song by Tim Smith?
Well, if it's good...
You hear that new Tim Smith joint?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Said no one ever... Man, Tim Smith's dropping some panty droppers. Said nobody ever.
Anyway, we're having a phone problem, a phone issue. It's our first ever issue, technically, here on the show.
So, so we don't have Greg Cosell right now?
Yeah, so we don't have Greg Cosell right now. We're working on it. Did you text him?
The phone issue is works, right? The phone issue is becoming a recurring issue.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, there's he's in there trying to fix it, but we'll see if whether or not it works. All right, so
well, once again, right. If you've got John's phone number, just call him, and we'll get you on the show directly through just speaker.
Yeah, we could do that.
Uh-huh, we could do that.
Yeah,
or done. Mine, I we're guess, done. Or mine.
Yeah. So, okay, some Deshaun props.
Ringer off.
Deshaun, under over 220 yards passing.
Is this yours?
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up Underdog, see if they have that for Deshaun.
I think that's probably
say
a pretty good...
I think it's a pretty good number. I'm going to say under.
See what Underdog has.
That's what I'm going to look at right now.
Probably.
I think that that's...
My book,
it might be a little early for them to do it, but maybe they do. Maybe they do have it. I think I'd go under. I don't think Deshaun gets to 200.
Well, here's one of the big reasons. It's the Texans, and you can run the ball all over them. Remember when Malik Willis played, and
they didn't have to
pass.
Didn't,
they threw one pass in the second half. Remember that?
No, they're not going to do that at Cleveland. They want Deshaun to get his reps in. Deshaun to start, you know, becoming a more effective passer. They want him to – here it is right here. Passing yards, 253. I 100% like that under.
Oh, wow.
Lower.
No, way lower.
Yeah, I'm total yards, 281. They have 22.5 rushing yards. They have Nick Chubb, 91.5 rushing yards.
Nick Chubb, 95? Over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. Over.
Yeah, I don't see how Deshaun. Kyle Allen, 219.5 passing yards.
Under. If Kyle Allen hits 179 yards, I'm going to be thrilled if Kyle Allen hits that.
You'll be thrilled?
Well.
Damian Pierce, 70.5 rushing yards. Are we sure it's going over 30 the way it's been lately?
And then he 70.5. All he has to do is break one. It sure would be nice. And listen, Kenyon Green didn't practice. It looks like it's going to be Justin McCray again. Which I don't know that it's a horrible thing, although Kenyon Green has been better at run blocking than he has at pass block. Of course, anything is better than Kenyon Green pass blocking this season. There's not much in the world that isn't better than Kenyon Green pass blocking this year. So I think I'm going – I mean, I think their estimates are high on just about everything except Nick Chubb. Have the Texans held anybody under their main running back under 100 yards this year? What did Saquon get? No, Saquon picked up a bunch.
Yeah, Saquon was a fantasy machine against Josh Jacobs.
Yeah,
was
he had a career day.
And Derrick Henry hit.
Oh no, he
did Derrick get to 200 against against him?
Yeah, Derrick got 200 against him. That was like the
Jonathan Taylor. Did he hit the 100 mark?
Oh, 150
in the fourth
153. Quarter. Yeah.
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah. I mean, everybody. So why would we think the guy who may be the best?
Leading rusher in all their games. Well, okay, this is for this
just
is
the Texans,
I think we may have Greg coming on.
Just the Texans.
Just the Texans. Burkhead was a leader in game one, 40.
As well
as
should
the game
be.
That made people almost tear up.
Do you know Davis Mills led the team in rushing against Washington with 10? Ogunbowale had 14 in the last game. Yeah, in the last two games, the Texans have had 24 total rushing yards for their high. Like in the last two games, Damien Pierce had 35. Yeah, it hasn't been great. I'd have to see what opponents did, but do you think anyone from Washington? Okay, we're gonna go to break right now. We'll get Greg Cosell back on.
We're gonna get him. Okay.
This is what you pointed out is yes. If you have a good running back, they for sure are going to go off against the Texans.
Yeah,
in fantasy football,
I don't think
Austin Eckler had two or three touchdowns that game.
Yeah,
if you have a good fantasy back,
that little
did you have Khalil Herbert? Have Khalil Herbert? Probably no one did.
That little rollout where the back comes out of the backfield, it's unstoppable. No one's ever stopped that.
No one's ever been able
to stop that play. No, GimmeTheVin.com. No one can stop John Clay Wolf either. John Clay Wolf is ready for you at GimmeTheVin.com to buy your car and buy it for more. You know what? You found a car that you want. You are ready to sell your car. Make sure that you have the car that you want right now, because don't sell your car and then order your vehicle because, you know, there's a time lapse, like 3 months right now, that takes to get your cars. But if you're ready and you want to trade in that car, I wouldn't do it through the dealership. I threw it through John Clay Wolf, because John Clay Wolf is going to give you more. John Clay Wolf says, if I can't beat him, I'm going to send you $100. If I can't beat CarMax, are you kidding me? I mean, that's like a war. That it's not even a war. It's so lopsided. John Clay Wolf destroys. It's like everybody against a certain football team in this city. Everybody just destroys them time and time and time and time again. And that's what John Clay Wolf is doing to CarMax, just beating the snot out of them buying cars. So if you're looking to sell your vehicle, there's one place to go, GiveMeTheVin.com. You can hear John Clay Wolf tomorrow. You can call him on the radio show where he will tell you over the phone how much your car is worth and give you a – and then you go, yeah, okay, sell it. I'll sell now. So if you're looking for a great way to sell that car every single time, GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Apologize for the late start. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, executive producer, been there forever, knows the game, watches, breaks it down. It's brought to you by Nick's Place, where, by the way, tomorrow morning, the U.S. is playing the Netherlands, and I am buying, during the match, everyone's Coors Lights. Everyone's Coors Lights from 9 to 11 while the match is on. So let's go. Get over to the next place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Greg, welcome in. How you doing?
John, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. Let me ask you this. Have we seen a guy that's been off for a couple of years, and like Deshaun has been, coming back in such an important position, obviously the quarterback position? What kind of rust can we? What do you think? How's he going to perform tomorrow?
I have no idea. I mean, the guy hasn't played football in 2 years. I couldn't begin to tell you what he's going to do. Obviously, at his best, he's a really good player. I know he played in the preseason for a snap or two and didn't look good. I have no idea what that means, but I imagine it's. I would think it won't be easy. You know, it's all speculation at this point. We really have no idea.
What do you think about what Stefanski did with Jacoby Brissett, and what do you think about schematically how he's going to work with Deshaun?
Well, I don't think the schematics will change dramatically. There might be some tweaks based on their sense of what Deshaun does well. But I think when you play all season, because don't forget, it's not just about the quarterback. It's also about the rest of your offense. Everybody has been doing, you know, working within the framework of those concepts, going back to OTAs and through training camp. So you can tweak a few things, John, but you can't make major changes right now because it's, like I said, it's not just the quarterback. It's everybody else. And they're used to playing a certain way. And then in the middle of a season, you're preparing for your next opponent. You're not reworking your methodology.
Yeah. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you happen to slog through the Texans and Miami game?
I watched Miami's offense. I did not watch the Texans defense. I hope you're okay with that. I watched Miami's offense.
We're okay with that.
Yeah. Trust no, me. Why would you watch them? But you did watch Miami's offense.
And, I did.
And what he's doing, you want to talk about being able to work with the talent that you have on the field? McDaniels is doing an unbelievable job with Tua, isn't he?
Unbelievable. I think it is an incredible marriage of concepts and player, because Tua is a specific kind of quarterback. He has exceptionally quick feet on his drop and set in the pocket. His delivery is compact. He's very accurate in the short to short intermediate area. He's not a particularly good deep ball thrower because his deep balls lose energy. And then you combine that with the concepts, because you know, I made the point this summer when they got Hill, and people said I was crazy. I said, you know, it's not going to be a vertical passing game. The key thing here is that Hill and Waddle, with all the motion and the different formation looks that McDaniel uses, it's all about free access off the line of scrimmage. I mean, look, you saw it this past week with all the reduced splits. When you play with reduced splits with wide receivers, it's very difficult for corners to press. So corners tend to play with more width and depth when receivers are reduced. And then they get off the line with speed and velocity, and their timing and rhythm of the pass game is never disrupted. And that's Tua's game. He's so good at that. And sometimes it just looks like it's pitch and catch and you're in practice.
You know, here's the thing that's going to happen. A lot of people are going to say, we need to copy the Miami model. You know, we need to copy. Well, what's the Miami model? Drafting Jalen Waddle, who my comp on him was Tyreek Hill, for lack of a better comp. I mean, I don't know if anyone's been Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Waddle with this incredible 4.2 caliber speed, and then you add the same kind of guy, only maybe a little bit better. Like, that's not a real, that's not a game plan that you can follow. It just so happens that Miami just had that opportunity for Tua. Tua's got the perfect pieces around him and probably the perfect play caller and the perfect ear. I don't know, Greg, if you took time, John, maybe you either. Did you listen to the Mike McDaniel Tua stuff when Mike McDaniel was mic'd up? I mean, that is the type of personality that after having Nick Saban and then Brian Flores, and now he gets a guy who is easy to is a relatable head coach that he enjoys, you know, talking to. I think it makes a big deal for a player like Tua, and probably for a lot of young quarterbacks.
I would agree. But when all's said and done, because everything has to manifest itself on the field,
right,
and all that's part of it, we know that. You know, the process is obviously critical, and I'm a process guy, but ultimately it all gets manifested on the field, and I think that the structure and the concepts of this offense match Tua's strengths exactly, and they minimize his limitations. So he is in a perfect system, and that speed at receiver, you know, if those guys can't be pressed, and they rarely are, then they get free access, and the timing of that offense is just pristine.
That's Greg Cosell from NFL Films, and we were talking about a quarterback there who is in a system where he's really, really thriving. There are some other quarterbacks who are thriving. I think one of the interesting things that's happening right now is some of the decline of the top quarterbacks, and then a guy like Carson Wentz is being beaten out by Taylor Heineke. I don't know what's left. I don't know what's left for him. Is Jimmy Garoppolo's not on the same level, but he is that next guy up that people are going to say, okay, let's look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is able to win at a high enough level without the surrounding pieces he has? Because he has pretty good pieces. Some pretty good pieces right now in San Francisco as well. Can Jimmy Garoppolo do more than just kind of steer the ship? Can he ever get to the level of Tannehill, what Tannehill's been able to do?
Well, one could argue that he's gotten beyond that level. Jimmy Garoppolo's been in a Super Bowl and been in two NFC Championship games, and people can debate forever about his role in those years, but the fact is he's done it. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a great quarterback. No one would say that. I don't think there's a mystery as to what Jimmy Garoppolo is. He has to play with the same kind of timing that Tua does. That's what he is. He's certainly not as efficient as Tua, and Tua is playing at a really, really high level right now. But Jimmy Garoppolo, in a sense, is running a similar offense with a ton of rhythm timing throws between the numbers. That's what those offenses are, and those are tough throws to make in the NFL, and Garoppolo's asked to make a lot of tough throws, and he certainly doesn't have the explosiveness at receiver that Hill and Waddle present. But Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's coming off not a very good game. It was just one of those games. He didn't see it well. His ball placement wasn't very good. He had one of those games. But he's shown that he can play, but I don't think anybody would say that Garoppolo is the driving force of an offense, and I think people know that.
Greg Cosell, well, this brought to you by Nick's Place here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN just put up a graphic of the quarterbacks that signed this offseason for big contracts. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, and Matthew Stafford. And they've all been disasters, Greg.
But yeah, it's been a tough year. You wonder if Stafford might retire. I mean, I imagine they'll shut him down for the season. You know, Kyler Murray's a fascinating guy. He's always been kind of a tough watch for me. When I say a tough watch, I don't mean I don't think he's any good. And maybe it's because, you know, I'm older and the way I think about the position, which I try to expand my thought process and, you know, have a lot of conversations with coaches about the increased importance of guys that move around and can make plays outside of structure. But Kyler Murray, to me, there's still an inconsistency, and I hate that word because it kind of doesn't mean a lot. But, I mean, I feel like you don't know what you're going to get week to week with Kyler Murray, Lance. I don't know how you feel about that,
Yeah. But
I feel you just don't know what you're going to get. And I think from a coaching perspective, and you certainly can speak to this because your dad was a coach for so many years, when you don't know what you're going to get, I think that makes it hard.
I want predictability and repeatability. Yeah. I want it's like a golf swing. I want a repeatable or a jump shot. There's certain things that you need to be repeatable. And we talk about that with, you know, for a kicker has to have a repeatable swing. Quarterbacks need to have repeatable deliveries. And with Kyler Murray, it's just like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who are playmaking quarterbacks that things aren't going to be repeatable. But the problem is, like for Deshaun Watson, for Lamar Jackson, these guys are making way more positive plays than Kyler Murray. And that's just,
yeah.
And that's before, Greg, I've even gotten to the fact that it doesn't appear that his teammates and his team really believe in him. That's another,
right.
That's the bigger issue,
but
I think.
You just hit on a point that I'm a big believer in. You have to make what would be considered the routine throws in the NFL, okay? Because you don't get, a lot of easy throws, you know, but there are easy throws, relatively speaking, in the NFL, okay? That's just the reality. But you don't get a ton of those. Those throws, those reads and throws have to be made. You know, if you talk to a coach, they'll tell you that those should be made 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what happens in a game where those special second reaction improvisational plays for whatever reason can't be made. Just, you know, there are games like that, you know that, where those plays just don't happen for whatever reason. Defense takes it away, they're not presented, whatever. You have to then be able to make throws within the structure of the offense. And while movement is clearly more important, and as I said, coaches now value that more than they ever did, they never say that that should be at the expense of executing the offense as designed. And I think Kyler Murray, to me, I don't know that he's going to do that every week.
Yeah, this is my other thing. You know, when you talk about making that A to B throw, that basic throw, it's why Joe Burrow, it's non-negotiable if you're not a really plus mobile quarterback. It is a non-negotiable thing.
I couldn't agree more.
Non-negotiable.
You're 100% right.
Like Matt Ryan doesn't have it now, and that's just not, it's just, there's a myriad of issues for Matt Ryan right now due to age and lack of mobility.
Yeah,
but I think Jalen Hurts, you would know this better than me, Greg. But I think Jalen Hurts has gotten a lot better at making those everyday throws and making those, you know, point A to point B throws. Is he perfect? No, but I think he's really improved with his timing as well from when he came out of
and I would agree with that 100%. And I think their offense is really, I don't want to say it's easy, because I would never say that about an NFL offense, and that would be the wrong word to use, but I think it's beautifully schemed, and because of the running element that he presents, I think that they're able to define a lot of reads and throws for him, which is, hey, by the way, that's what McDaniel's doing with Tua. That's what a coach should be doing. So that is not a negative about a quarterback. People take that as a negative about a quarterback. That's the coach's job. And when you watch the Eagles offense, which I do every single week and speak to people there, they're doing such a good job of defining it because Hurts, when he's in the gun, there's so many potential running elements, and defenses tend to be a little more predictable, and it just makes it relatively easier to design your pass game.
Greg Cosell brought to you by Nick's Place here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I felt kind of bad for, I don't know how much you watched last night, but Matt Patricia, he's in a bad situation.
John, believe it or not, I'm a little nuts, as you probably know. This is our first year together. Lance knows me. I watched the whole game last night. My alarm went off at 4:30, as it does every day. Sometimes I don't even make it to my alarm, but I've already watched the Bills offense on tape.
What in the world would you want to watch that, stay up that late for that one? But
the Bills.
You know, I kind of like the Bills.
Yes. The Bills, yeah. Yes. Not
I kind of like the Bills.
Not the Patriots.
They're very intriguing to me, and I thought what they did last night, I'm sure you guys watched the game, I thought it was really good. You know, Josh Allen, as we know, is an extreme talent. You could almost make the argument that he may be the most physically gifted quarterback we've ever seen, which is not the same as saying the best quarterback we've ever seen. But you can't ask him to be Superman every single week. You can't ask any quarterback to do that. It's too hard in this league. And they clearly came out with a run approach. They wanted to make it methodical, patient, and obviously Allen made the special touchdown play, but they were not asking him to be special on every other snap.
They actually ran the ball for a touchdown once. That was great. But,
yeah.
Greg, I was here last year. I know you're nuts. I already know that.
Okay.
You.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nuts.
So,
nuts about football.
No, nuts about football. My question was about Matt Patricia and the untenable. I mean, it just seems like it's just a setup for failure there, putting him in a bad spot. He looked so uncomfortable last night.
And that offense, to me, they haven't run the ball as much as I thought they would, and they haven't had much volume, and production has been spotty. Look, Mac Jones is another guy. He's a certain kind of quarterback. Mac Jones is not a big-time thrower. He's really good at seeing things. He gets the ball out because he's a short strider. He can work in muddied pockets reasonably effectively, so he doesn't back away from pressure. But you have to define things for him. He has to be part of an offense. He can't be the driving force of the offense. And right now, again, it's one of those offenses, and if a coach was here, he'd probably tell me I'm nuts, but it doesn't look to me like it has a truly defined identity on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. What about this Cincinnati-Kansas City game, Greg? Cincinnati's taking care of business against them these last few times.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see. It seems like Chase will be back. He says he's feeling great. We'll see how many snaps he plays. But I would look for the matchups on the outside in this game. The Bengals are a heavy, heavy 11 personnel offense. And one thing about Joe Burrow, and this goes back to his year at LSU, he is not shy at all about throwing one-on-ones outside the numbers. And because these Chiefs will be in their sub-package almost every snap, he's going to be working against McDuffie and probably the rookie Williams. So I think that those are matchups to look for, because Burrow is an aggressive thrower. There's no caution to Burrow. He turns the ball loose.
Well, it's funny because he was like this at LSU.
Yeah.
If he has a one-on-one matchup where he thinks and he's got two tremendous ball winners in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. So he knows, I just need to put it up in the air and they will go and get the ball. He's not a tight window thrower outside the numbers, but he is a back shoulder thrower and he is a one-on-one. He has such good touch and placement on those deep sideline throws that – He knows who he is, and he plays to who he is. That's one of the reasons I really enjoy
it. No, and I love, Lance, I don't know when you do your evaluations, but And college game is a little different. You know, there's guys who are quote-unquote more open. But I think in the NFL, as a quarterback, you've got to turn it loose and you've got to make difficult throws. You can't be a cautious thrower in the NFL and be a great quarterback because every game is going to present situations where you've got to turn it loose.
No, and you'll see it. Like, you see it on tape when guys – it's one thing to recognize a DB baiting you and not make a throw. It's another where – like I watched the University of Houston quarterback Clayton Tune. One of the things that popped in tape study was that he just clearly didn't trust his arm to make drive throws in certain zone situations where they were open, but he just couldn't cut it loose. And when you have that, Marcus Mariota was that way on tape. You could just see those guys. You got to bet big to win big.
No, I couldn't agree more. That's a great, great point. You know, sometimes Derek Carr is like that too, and I struggle with him. Derek Carr is another guy that tends to be cautious, and he certainly has a big arm and can make every throw, as you know, but he's not a naturally turn-it-loose thrower.
They have ceilings, though. Guys like Derek Carr have ceilings. He's hit a ceiling. He is, you know who he is. Josh Allen, unafraid. You know, Lamar Jackson is unafraid to make certain throws. Is he accurate on deep balls? No. But he's unafraid to take those shots. You have to have a level of – I mean, we could go through all the different quarterbacks. You have to have a level of – now, then you have to, you know, try to tone down turnovers. Brett Favre would throw a ton of turnovers.
I'd rather start with that and work back than have a guy who just throws checkdowns and is afraid to turn it loose.
Yep. Derek Carr. Yep. Derek Carr, Alex Smith was like that.
He was a check down guy, yeah.
Alex Smith was the king of that. It's Greg Cosell here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Nick's Place. Once again, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, during the U.S.-Netherlands game, we'll be buying all your Coors Lights at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, so come on out. Who you liking that one, Greg? Netherlands or U.S.?
You know, John, this might sound like a terrible thing to say, and I hope like people don't hate my guts, but I don't really have any interest in the World Cup.
We kind of thought that might be the case.
I mean, I'm just, as my uncle used to say, I'm just telling it like it is.
No, that doesn't make you un-American, Greg, okay?
I mean, actually, I hope it doesn't make me a bad person in the eyes of the listeners.
No, but, most Americans feel like you, I think, Greg.
You know, it's football season for me, and to be honest with you, I don't really get to do much else right now. You know, it's kind of what I do. I work 7 days a week, and I watch tape, and I do my job, and I don't really see a whole lot.
That's Greg Cosell, football guy. Not football, football. Football guy, all right? So that's what he does, and that's what he does for us on Friday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Nick's Place. Hey, Greg, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks, guys.
I love it. Talk to you next week.
There's Greg Cosell with us every week here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you know who else is with us? Well, with you, your patios.
Texas Custom Patios. My son was out there. Snacks is all of a sudden I hear the Thursday night game coming from in the unmistakable excitement of Al Michaels on a Thursday. And I'm like, who's out on the patio? And it's just Snacks. Sebastian was just out there watching a game. He had his football out there with throwing it up in the air. That's what he likes to do. And so he was out there. And he knows that he can just go out there, turn it on. He knows how to turn on the sound system. He knows how to turn on the game. And then he's watching with the, you know, the surround sound system that's – it's not surround sound, but it's up in the gabled roof. And they built it onto my existing home. I have a certain kind of shingle that was already on there. It's like this metal or aluminum shingle, whatever it is, that was already on there when we bought the home. When they built the patio, they went and found exactly – they did an exact match – for that, so that they could, it looks exactly like it was built on the home when the home was first constructed. It's unbelievable. My home was built in the early 1960s. Texas Custom Patios does a great job of building out a space for you that you can be proud of, that you can show your friends, your family members. You're going to enjoy your time out there. They do outdoor kitchens that they can install, outdoor fire pits, outdoor fireplaces. It's all everything that you can conceive of. And then over the last few months, they started doing swimming pools. And the swimming pools they've done have been phenomenal. The design and the build-out are great. So if you're looking for an outdoor oasis, they can absolutely build that for you. They can finance it. And you can have the backyard of your dreams right here in Houston. Just go to TexasCustomPatios.com to see their entire build-out and see what they're doing from start to finish. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.